ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनमां करुणानिधे कर्मं ग्राह्य गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवाल् श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशवाम् भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादिदरदस् चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराल्तेने ब्रह्म हृद य आदिगवये मुह्यन्नियल् सूरयाम् तेजोवारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृष धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्मम् प्रोज्झितकैतगोत्रपरमो नर्मत्सराणाम् सदाम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदम् तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वापरैः ईश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यमरुद्यते त्रयदिवि शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुकमुखादमृतम् द्रवसंयुतम् पिबद भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमाम् यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमाजुहावम् पुत्रेति तन्मयदयोत्तरमोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वबोधहृदयम् मुनिम् आनदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेयम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथिदीर्षदाम् तमोन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरमोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुनिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजम्भना मुरारेर्मधुरिन्न कणिकापि काभिकाभिम् नमाम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीम् गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणी श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्याम् नमः वन्दे नन्दम् व्रजस्त्रीणाम् पादरेणुमभीष्णश यासाम् हरिगदोद्गीतम् पुनादिभुवनत्रयम् श्रीगोपीचरणारविन्दपरमानवे नमः पीताम्बरम् करविराजितचक्रशङ्खकौमोदनी सरसिजम् करुणासमुद्रम् राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् वातालयेशमनिशम् हृदि भावयामि
We were talking the week before from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where Uddhava met Vidura and eventually they got separated. Uddhava went to Badrinath and Vidura proceeded to Haridwar. That's where we stopped. So, from after this, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh chapter is basically Vidura's meeting with Maitreya Maharshi in Haridwar, and the subsequent discussions between Vidura and Maitreya, although it goes for so many other many more chapters, right up to chapter 13, I think, till Vidura has raised a lot of questions to Maitreya Maharshi, and Maitreya Maharshi, in reply to that, starts answering the questions one by one. So here, what is interesting to note is, when Vidura went to Haridwar and he saw Maitreya Maharshi, he paid his obeisances to Maitreya Maharshi, and Maitreya Maharshi already knew, because Krishna, while leaving the planet, has instructed Maitreya Maharshi that one day Vidura will come to see him, and when Vidura comes, you should ask him if he has got anything, any questions or any clarifications needed about various spiritual side of life. And Krishna has authorized Maitreya Maharshi to clarify those questions and answer everything to Vidura's satisfaction. Krishna has also told Maitreya Maharshi that you are qualified to do that, so you should do that, and one day Vidura will turn up. So as Krishna predicted, Vidura has now turned up, and after paying his obeisances to Maitreya Maharshi, Vidura started raising a number of questions. And the interesting thing here is that after this long travels to all the holy places in Bharatavarsha, Vidura by now has acquired a tremendous degree of renunciation and detachment from this material world. And the result was that he was asking such philosophical questions to Maitreya Maharshi, and Maitreya Maharshi eventually had to answer them right from the beginning of the creation. The way it happened was, Sukhani karmani karoti loke, Vidura says to Maitreya Maharshi, in this world, everybody is working. That is what, for the sake of becoming happy in this. That was the goal of all the work, what we do in this world. Sukhaya karmani karoti loke. That is the motivation. That is what motivates people to work in this world, to become happy one day or the other. In fact, generally we also have this tendency in this world. That suppose somebody is sitting idle and he is not feeling very happy, we'll ask him, why don't you do something about it? This is the first question we raise. So the reason behind it is that the person who is asking the question, he has the conviction that if I do something, I'll become happy. That's what it is leading to. So, Sukhaya karmani karoti loke, that the whole world is working under this principle, that by performing work, we will become happy in this world. This is the ultimate goal. This is the concept very strongly embedded into our consciousness. Rajodigaha karmavaraha. Karmavaram, that is the nature of the living entity, continuously wants to work and work till bones are broken. They want to work. So why did this nature come to us? Rajodigaha karmavaraha. That rajodiyam or rajovanam is behind it. That when this rajovanam is predominating in the human species particularly, that the human nature is always to work and work. So this working principle has come from that. It is not something new which has started in the recent times. It's been existing from the creation itself. So when the living entity wants to work so much, the intention is that it wants to become happy at the end. After doing all this work, the goal of this working is to become happy. But Vidura is saying to Maitreya Maharshi, what I'm finding here is none of them seems to be happy even after doing all this amount of work, what they are doing in this world. Sukhaya karmani karoti loke. That sukhaya, that is the goal. Sukham is the goal. But what we find at the end is, it is more anxiety at the end. That there is no ultimate happiness. What they are looking for is coming from this working principle of work. So generally all the living entities, particularly in the human species, we have this propensity to work so hard and to develop desiring happiness. So Vidura asked this question, and why is that even after performing so much work that they found to be ultimately end up in distress? That we can also see in this world. Sometimes many big men, big leaders, they have big plans also. And when they execute these big plans, in their mind they are thinking that if I do this, this will be the result. And with the result that everything will be alright at the end. But we find that it doesn't happen like that. This is a practical experience tells us that simply by working and trying to sort out things on our own in this material world, it doesn't seem to work like that. And this is what Vidura was pointing at to Maitreya Maharshi. That why is that in the human society, even after performing so much work and so much plans behind it by different living entities, ultimately living entity ends up in distress. Why does this happen? This was the question from Vidura to Maitreya Maharshi. Maitreya Maharshi, in answer to that, was started describing from the very process of creation, from the very beginning. And he had to do that because without describing the process of creation, why the living entity has developed this habit and why this work has gone so deeply into the consciousness, that working hard as the principle of life, that for describing that, Maitreya Maharshi started describing the process of creation. Now, before going into that, Maitreya Maharshi also wanted to say to Vidura that what is actually the living entity's jiva's relationship with the Supreme Lord. These things are, what is Maya, all these things have been discussed there. So, these chapters from now on, for quite a long time, for many other chapters, when Maitreya Maharshi wants to talk about it, he is very happy and very excited to talk about it. But at the same time, for those who want to present it to somebody, it is quite a difficult chapter also. That is the difficulty in this third canto. Third canto, basically Maitreya Maharshi is talking about creation, answering Vidura's questions. But in the process of describing these questions and answering them, Maitreya Maharshi takes things to a very deeper level. And normal people, it is very difficult also to understand the whole process of creation and whole how this situation has developed in the living entity to work like this. So that is where it begins. So originally, when Maitreya Maharshi started answering, he started saying this, that in the beginning there was only Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna was there. And from Krishna, the process of creation happens. How did that develop systematically? That's what the next few verses talks about. So, from Krishna, when Krishna had the desire, he was the drashta. Drashta means one who sees things. And for a person who is seeing, he should have something to see. And there was nothing to see. Drishyam was not there, but the person was there to see. So, at that time, in Krishna's mind, Krishna has developed that ideas that I should have so many things to look at. Only then there will be an interaction for the person who is seeing those things. So it is from that point that when Krishna desired in his mind that there should be more other activities in this creation or in this whole creation, so many things comes out from that desire itself. So desire taken the shape of an entity, what is known as Maya. So that is the origin of Maya. Maya has come from Krishna in such a way that when Maya was developed, from Maya came out all the other creation, what we find in this world, in this whole creation. So this is the beginning. Krishna's desires has manifested in the form of Maya, and from Maya all the other living entities have come. And apart from that, all the other subtle elements as well as the gross elements started manifesting from them one after the other. So this process of creation begins from there. Now if you ask this question that from Maya how did further developed things develop, that is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. From Maya, when Krishna started interact, Krishna created the Maya, all the Maya has manifested from Krishna. And when the seer, Krishna, started interaction with the Maya, From there came the what is known as Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam means that element what has come from Maya during the process of creation, in which everything is lying down in a very subtle form. And it is from Mahatattvam that the other manifestation begins after that. From Mahatattvam came Ahamtattvam. Ahamtattvam means Mahatattvam Vikurvanam Ahatattvam Jajayanam. That Ahamtattvam has come from Mahatattvam. What is Ahamtattvam? Ahamtattvam generally means it is the what we talk about as the false ego. We say false ego. What is this false ego we are talking about? False ego means basically, suppose somebody is doing some work, somebody is creating, say for example, a potter, he makes pots, earthen pots. As soon as he gets this concept that I am creating this, immediately that is called false ego. So as soon as he identifies with that particular activity as I am the doer, or kartratvam as it is called in the Shastra, so that kartratvam, when it is taken over by the living entity, that I am the doer, and that identification strongly comes in, then immediately that is known as the Ahamtattvam. Ahamtattvam comes from there. Karyam karana karta almam. Then karyam, karanam and karta. Three things. Karyam means that what has been done. And karanam means the cause. And karta is the doer. So these three things combined together, then what happens is, Bhudendriyamanomayam. Panchabhudas, the five material elements, and mind and the senses, they manifest. So in this way, the different senses manifest from there. So at the same time, you can also see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring to this, that from Ahamtattvam, Ahamtattvam has come. And from Ahamtattvam, these five material elements and the subtle bodies which is existing in the form of mind and senses and intelligence, they all have manifested from there. So generally we will say like this, that when the living entity is in that situation, that he has identified with the kartatvam, or the person who is acting or who is the doer, that entity strongly, it has convinced him, it has come to his mind strongly, then the false ego is already has come in inside there. So you can see from that the false ego is there in everyone's heart, and that's not something one can easily take it away from the heart. Only in the realized state that false ego vanishes completely from the subtle body. So till then the false ego will maintain itself there, and the false ego will impel the living entity to act in one way or the other. So here you can see, there are a few more things to note, that the five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire, these five material elements, they also have what is known as Pancha Tanmatra. Tanmatra means that Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam and Gandham. That is the words. Shabdam means the sound, and Sparsha means to touch, Rupa means form, Rasa means taste, and Gandha means smell. These are known as the Tanmatras, or the five aspects of the five material elements. Now, all the five material elements don't have all the five of these. In fact, if you look into the five of them, it happens like this, that five material elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether. Now, ether has got only one potency, one characteristic, that is, either can transmit sound. So the sound is the nature, or shabdam, is the sound is the material element, either can only interact with sound. If you come down further down to air, it can take two things, one is sound as well as the sparsham or touch, two things are there. Similarly, if you come down, the last one, earth has got all the five things. That means it has got sound, it has got touch, it has got form, it has got taste, and it has got the smell. All the things are there in the earth. Now these five material elements, when they were created, they were in their subtle form, existed. So the material elements did not know what to do themselves. They were created, and by Krishna's grace, they have been able to become personified form. And those personified forms tried to mix each other, and they couldn't mix each other. This is how Bhagavatam says. And it was at that time, when the material elements could not mix together, that Krishna had to interfere and actually involve himself. And in all these five material elements, Krishna himself entered into it and allowed them to mix together. And that is known as the Shastra as Panchikaranam. Panchikaranam means, from the subtle form, how the material elements were able to mix together and start interaction of the in the process of creation. Till then they were not able to interact together. That was the difficulty. For example, if you look at it this way, that the modern science says that water and fire won't mix together. This is their point. But Veda says fire, water has come from fire. So that's how the difference is. That similarly, similarly, if you look at the earth has come from water. So this is how the Vedic conclusions are. So from the Vedic point of view, all the material elements has a cause behind it at the time of creation. And these things cannot be explained by experimental process. And this is where the difficulty is, that the modern science is looking for answer on an experimental basis. But the fact is that all these material elements were given life at a particular time, and when they could not interact with each other, only when Krishna entered into them as the predominating deities of these material elements, that they were able to interact with each other, and that process is known as Panchikaranam. Panchikaranam means this five material elements, they mixed, they were able to mix together, and from there the process of further creation begins. In the material world also, if you look in the whole creation, you will never find anything, anywhere, any material element in its pure form. It is impossible to find that because it doesn't exist. Already Panchikaranam process has been done by the Supreme Lord, with the result that all material elements are already mixed up. And it is the mixed up state we find, and that mixed up material elements, the human being take it further, mix it again and again and again, and then create new things from that, and he feels pride in that development or in that process of further creation. So this is how that process works. So Panchikaranam has been done by the Supreme Lord, and at the same time you can also notice another thing, that the three states of existence of the human body, for example, if you look into it, we have got discussed this before, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. In the Jagrat state, we are in the vacant condition. Swapnam state is the dream state, and Sushupti is the deep sleep. Now in these three states of existence, we act in three different ways. This is also interesting to note. For example, in the vacant state, if you look carefully, you will notice that the senses are active more than anything else. It is the senses that predominates the vacant state. In the sleep or in the dream state, it is the mind that comes into action. The mind controls all our activities at that time. And in the Sushupti, when we are covered by the veil of ignorance, which actually covers us from the influence of the mind or the senses, the spirit soul is experiencing a certain amount of independence, and that blissful experience is happening in the deep sleep. So these three states of existence are there for the human being. Now, the question comes that something what we experience in the vacant state, we accept that as real. At the same time, we reject everything else as false. That's, or in other words, an illusion. We call it as illusion. For example, in the state of, in the dream state, when you start experiencing something. For example, I am sleeping, and in the middle of the sleep, I felt that I am dying. And I died at the same time. And at some point, after experiencing so much distress in that dream, suddenly I experience death and I die in the dream. But after some time, when I wake up, I think that all what has happened in that dream state was simply a dream. It was not a reality that I am still awake. Because I have accepted my vacant state as the reality and the dream state as the illusion. But so long as you are in that dream state, you are still experiencing as much real as it is in the vacant state when you experience death. So although we may claim that the material body did not die at that time, but the experience what comes from the death, what you experience in the vacant state, is as much real as it is at the time of dreaming or in the dream state. So vacant state, the dream state and the deep sleep state, these three states of existence keeps us in this, in these three states of existence, the living entity is going through all the time. So that's what our experience is. But from the scientific point of view, in many instances, they do not give importance to the other two. They give importance only to the vacant state. Why? Because they have accepted this as the reality. They have ignored the other two. They think in their analysis, that's not reality. Why? Because they have seen everything through the body. Body is their identity. Their identity is with the body. So when the body is functioning, they accept that everything is reality in relationship to the body. But when the living entity, the real living entity within the body is experiencing something else, they are not in a position to explain that. This is the problem in the modern scientific process. You can see this, the difference where Srimad Bhagavatam disagree with the modern science. Well, Srimad Bhagavatam points out to this fact that you cannot say that only one part of these three are real. The other two are as much real as this is. Although because of our strong identification with the body, we are accepting that all that is happening in the vacant state as the only reality. Everything else is we call it as a dream or illusion or whatever it is. And the third state is not even known to us what it is existing at that time. So like this, Srimad Bhagavatam is developing understanding that the living entity has to understand that what is reality? Reality is what is this reality, or what is one is experiencing the vacant state? Is that the reality? Or what is experiencing the dream state? Is that the reality? Or what is experiencing the sushupti state? Is that the reality? So reality is unknown in any of these three states. And only thing is the living entity is moving from one phase to another phase. And each of these phases, the activities are different. But as long as the living entity is in that particular phase of life, is experiencing everything as real for that particular situation. So that is what is Srimad Bhagavatam says about it. So Vidura had these questions to Maitreya Maharshi, and Maitreya Maharshi in response to that answered that sukhaya karmani karoti loke, that this living entity's activity has not begun yesterday or day before. It has started from time immemorial. And Vidura's question was very, very simple. And that question he raised to Maitreya Maharshi was, that his next question was, why does people not worship Krishna? This was the question. And when Vidura asked this question to Maitreya Maharshi, Maitreya Maharshi smiled and started answering that question from the very, very beginning. That Maitreya Maharshi said to Vidura, I am not at all surprised that you have asked this question, that why people do not worship Krishna. Actually, Maitreya Maharshi said to Vidura, you are not actually Vidura. Vidura is your present name and the body attached to that body. That's your current situation. But actually, you are nobody else than Yama Dharma Raja. Yama Raja has come as Vidura. He had to take birth as Vidura due to a curse from Mandavi Muni. So, Yamaraja said, Vidura was raising this question. And Maitreya Maharshi said he was not at all surprised. Why did he say that? The reason being that Yamaraja in that position as Yamadharma Raja, he had to execute the punishment for the sinful activities of the living entity. So what he has noticed there was, when he was in the hellish planets, the living entities, they were constantly performing sinful activities in this world. And when they perform sinful activities, eventually they come to the domain or to the control of Yamaraja. And Yamaraja is constantly punishing them all the time. And every time the punishment is over, they come back here and again perform the same sinful activity. And again comes there for this next visit. So like this, one after the other, it keeps coming. The same person comes in, performs sinful life and come back and suffer for that. As soon as it's over, he comes back here and he continues the sinful life again. So at that point, Yamaraja started asking this question, my punishment is not working. So what's the point in doing this punishment? This punishment is not, it's not a squaring up or or trying to take revenge on somebody. The intention of any of this punishment should be actually to reform the person or to improve his consciousness or to make him realize that he should come out of that understanding. But that's not happening. It's all the time, it's the same story. He comes in, and if you ask him, Yamaraja has asked this question to many of them, how many times have you come here and how many times have I given you this punishment? So the criminal is saying to the judge, we don't know how many times you have come. If you can tell us, that is better, because I don't know how many times I have come here myself. This is the answer from the criminal. So Yamaraja has got fed up with this kind of punishment. It's not working. That's what he's saying. So in his understanding is right. Like in our modern society also, if you look at it, you can see that so much crime everywhere. And the crime rate has gone up so much, accordingly increase the police force, and accordingly increase the jails, and try to control physically as much as possible. But it's not changing the criminal's mind. The crime rate is increasing day by day. And the power with which they are trying to control the crime, they are also spending more money. They are almost in the same situation as Yamaraja has said, Yamaraja was talking about. So, with all their powerful control of the crimes, still crime rate is increasing. So that means there is something seriously wrong with this process. That, as I said before, the intention of punishing a person is not to revenge him, or to take revenge on him, or defeat a person and to control him like that. The intention is that once a punishment is given to somebody, that person should actually improve his, he should come out of that criminal mentality and improve his consciousness and become more normal and free from that criminal thoughts. But that's not happening. So this is why Yamadharmaraja, being Vidura, asked this question to Maitreya Rishi. In response to that, Maitreya Maharshi had to say this to Vidura, that I am not at all surprised for you have asked this question. If I have to tell the answer for this, why this criminal mentality is not going away, Maitreya Maharshi said to Vidura, I have to start talking from the beginning of the creation itself. Why? Living entity has got what is known as vasana. Vasana means the propensity to do different things. We have all have different vasanas in us. Vasana bala juhava narayana namakam sudam. In the Bhagavatam, while talking about Ajamila's story in the 6th canto, there is reference to that, how powerful the vasana is, or the propensities are. Vasana bala juhava narayana namakam sudam. That Brahmana Ajamila, throughout life he has performed a sinful life, but at the last minute he had that desire to call his son by the name Narayana. Where did that come from? Vasana Balal. This a powerful vasana that was inside. That means if you can enter good vasana. Vasana, there are two types of vasanas. One is known as Sadvasana and the other one is known as Durvasana. Sadvasana means propensity to act in the right way or act in a pious way. And Durvasana means to act in a criminal's way. So this Sadvasana and Durvasana, there are two types of vasanas what exist in us. And these vasanas have been stacked up from time immemorial. From the very beginning of creation, this has started building up in us. And that vasanas will never go. And depending on what kind of vasanas one has developed, Vasana Balal Juhava Narayana Namakam Sudam. That is what has prompted Ajamila to call his son Narayana at that moment. And these vasanas have been built up from the process of creation itself. From the time of creation, as soon as the living entities came out, we are part and parcel of Krishna. That is our position. Mama Yuvamsho Jiva Logi Jiva Bhuta Sanadana Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritistani Garshani. Krishna says to Arjuna, that the living entity who are part and parcel of Krishna, as soon as they got separated from Krishna, immediately the living entity is caught up in the Maya. But this is also another interesting aspect of it. That Maya's influence on the living entity is so powerful that we are not even able to understand how much Maya controls us. And that we can see by this example. That in a dream state, we experience so many things. All that seems to us as real. In the vacant state, we experience so many things And that also seems to us as real. Now, if you compare these two, the dream state and the awakened state, you can see that although they are two different states of existence, Maya is so powerful, she is able to convince us that both of these states of existence as real, or in everything in this material world as real. All the time it is able to push this point across to us, and that is the power of Maya. So as soon as the living entities has come into the control of the material nature, the Maya's function is such that it traps the living entity in some form or the other and engages the living entity to act in a particular way or the other. So even if the living entity wants to free oneself from that condition, it's not able to do so. That is the most difficult part of it. So generally, this influence of Maya on the living entity is so powerful that living entity wants to free, but it cannot do it. So here, in Vidura's case also, when Maitreya Maharshi was answering that these propensities have come to the living entity from the time of creation itself. That means from the very moment the creation happened, the living entity started associating with the different modes of nature, Satyam, Rajasam and Tamasam. And these three modes of nature has created difficulties for him. Why? He is working, he is producing the result, and he is eating the result, and that is creating more material bodies. And like this, one after the other, he is entangled in this, caught up in this, and he is not able to free himself from that condition. And that is the reason why Maitreya Maharshi told Vidura that I have to talk to you from the very beginning of the creation itself. And that is how he starts talking about the process of creation at that point. So generally, all the living entities, all the human beings, normally have this propensity to do karma. Karma means to work. That working nature or propensity to act in one way or the other is there in the living entity. So because it is like that, the human mind is like that, that it is always, it's engaged in work and wanted to act in this. There are different sections in the Vedic literature. Karmakandam has been created. That Karmakandam means that in the Karmakanda section, one has an opportunity to perform activity and karma, and through that, able to release the soul from the entanglement what it has got into. And that is what is known as the samskara, or different samskaras were created for this purpose. So, if you look into this very carefully, that from the Vedic tradition, there are so many samskaras mentioned. And these samskaras, if you start looking at it, how beneficial they are for the human society, and by performing those samskaras, how a human being or a conditioned soul can disentangle from the entanglement it has got into. Like the soul at the moment is entangled with the matter. And this soul's entanglement with the matter is broken up by these different samskaras or the processes what is mentioned in the Karmakanda. But none of these samskaras are existing today. Not much of a samskaram is done for anywhere. And therefore, in the Shastra it's also mentioned that when the human society has given up all these different samskaras, what they are supposed to have performed, there is not much difference between an animal and the human society. That is the borderline that separates the human life from the animal's life is that human society has got this opportunity for what is known as the different samskarams, what one is supposed to do. Now, with the advancement of the science and modern lifestyle, all the samskaras has come to completely a stop, and that is never done. And therefore, the result also will be the society that comes from without samskaras will also act like animals. And that's what we find in this world. That if you look into the list of samskaras, what is mentioned, there is a number of samskaras, starting with even before the birth. Even before the birth of the child, Garbhadhanam, Pumsavanam and Simandam. Garbhadhanam is much before the pregnancy happens. Even the conception, the Garbhadhanam ceremony is performed. Pumsavanam is done on the 3rd month and Simandam is done on the 6th month. So, throughout that process, if you want a good progeny, these samskaras are meant for that. And that is how it was done in the past. And therefore, when the children were born from these, when the children were born from such a tradition, those children do not have that criminal activity mentality. Mentality of criminality doesn't exist. Why? Because just like if you want to grow food, you go to the field, you plow the field, and you water it, and when the seed is sown, along with that you provide all the ingredients for the seed to nurture and grow properly in the field. And when that is done, the plant that comes out comes healthy and it grows and produces the desired result. But if we grow carelessly, or exactly the same way, if the child is born without any samskaram or without any proper Krishna consciousness or any of the purificatory processes, just like we're talking about, this entanglement of the soul in its own activities, or this bondage what it has created, this disentangling or unentangling it from that bondage is what the samskaras do, or the purificatory processes, what they are called as the purificatory processes. So, Garbhavanam, Pumsavanam and Simandam, there are three of them before even the child is born. As soon as the child is born, Jatakarmam, Namakarmam, Annaprashanam, Chaulam, Upanayanam, right up to the age of 8, by another 5 samskaras are to be performed. 3 before the birth and 5 after the birth. So you can see, by the time Upanayanam ceremony is performed, the child is already purified to such an extent that if you send the child to the spiritual master into Gurukulam, where he is able to acquire the knowledge or prepare himself, and the discipline required for the mind and senses has developed so nicely that he is able to learn the things properly in the association of the spiritual master. And precisely today we are discussing this, that there is so much so much complaint about among the priests and among the even our own Ishkan also, this criticism about the child abuse has come up. And in the same thing in the Catholic Church also, it is happening. But why is this happening? If we can understand that when there is no purificatory processes and children are produced at a rate without any, as much as in an animalistic level, and if you expect that children and the teachers to act in that level of consciousness, what is mean the standard among the human society, particularly among the Brahmanas, and that society cannot reach that level of purity at any cost. So this is shows the importance that how necessary it is these samskaras are to be performed in one's life for the purification or necessary. So after the Upanayanam ceremony, Upanayanam actually means that bringing one closer to the spiritual master. That's what it means. Now Upanayanam is a ceremony, when it's performed, many people have misunderstood that, I have been given the sacred thread to chant the Gayatri. All I have to do is to chant the Gayatri and continue doing what I was doing before. But that's not actually Upanayanam means. Upanayanam means that as soon as he comes to the spiritual master, his spiritual life, real spiritual life begins from that point. Because if the child stays with the parents, parents will find it difficult to discipline him because of the close affinity and also due to attachment. But under the care of the spiritual master, both the spiritual master and the spiritual master's wife, they take care of the children purely with the understanding that the child has come to us to develop spiritual knowledge, and it's our responsibility to give him that spiritual understanding of life. So they are able to provide the child in such a way that after the Upanayanam ceremony, immediately his studies of the scripture starts in a very serious way. So right from the age of 7 or 8, as soon as the Upanayanam ceremony is over, the child is supposed to develop his spiritual knowledge from then on. Now, in a society, when all these things are done systematically, as soon as the Upanayanam to another 12 years or so, as long as Brahmachari life is going on, at the end of the Brahmachari life, he has got the opportunity to decide at that point, in consultation with the spiritual master, whether he go totally into spiritual life, move into the sannyasa ashram, or to get married at that point, perform the samavartanam ceremony, and then get into married life, or for a certain period of time, and then move on to the vanaprastham sannyasa ashram. So this choice is given at that time. But during the whole period of brahmachari life, he has got the pure opportunity to listen and to study the Shastra, and with the help of the spiritual master, he has developed sufficient spiritual knowledge that his desire for material life completely vanishes from him. All desires goes away and he becomes completely focused and fixed up in the spiritual path of life. So when these things are not happening, one has to only understand that it is not that what is lacking actually is that what has to be done before that has not been done. And when that's not done, the result will also be, you can only expect so much success in the results, what we get from that. So here, what we have to say is, that in the household life also, even if one comes into household life, there is about totally, in a human life, there is about 40 samskaras to be performed. Now we told three of them, garbhadhanam, pungsavanam and simantam, before the birth, jatakarmam, namakaranam, annaprashanam, chaulam and upanayanam, after the birth, till he comes to a spiritual master's home. And in spiritual master's home, he has got an opportunity to stay there for 12 years, and in that 12 years, he has four different sacrifices to be performing there, in presence of the spiritual master. After that, samavartanam ceremony is performed, and then he is ready for the marriage, if he is not going into the sannyasashram. But if he goes into the household life, then he has got so many sacrifices mentioned there, totally about panjamahayajnam, that is, devarshi bhudaktam ranam pidranam, for the demigods, for the pidrikal, for pidriloka, for the brahmanas, and for the manushyas, and for the other species of life, all of them, a householder is responsible or answerable. He has to give them all. He has certain obligations to every single one of them. And that is the duty of a householder, panchamahayajnam, as it is referred to. In addition to that, he has also to perform seven pagayajnam, seven havirayajnam, and seven somayajnam. So 3 times 7, 21, 21 plus 5, 26, plus 9, 35, and the 5 he performs at the Durgam, so totally 40 of them. These 40 samskaras are supposed to purify the person to such a level that he is completely free himself from that entanglement of the soul's entanglement with the senses and with the body. And at the last minute, when everything is completed, he is in a position to fully understand and identify his spiritual identity, or come to the realization of his spiritual identity. That is the process of this karmakanda. So when Vidura has answered, when Vidura was listening to Maitreya Maharshi, Vidura told Maitreya Maharshi that this process of purification is difficult, because Vidura also experienced that there are possibilities that in human society this may not exist all the time. But this is the system. System is there. We cannot change the system. That system says that if you do all these things, the result will be like this. But if you don't do any of these purificatory processes or samskars, the result will also be according to the mentality of the person. Like if you get a criminal and you develop the criminal in such a way, the criminal mentality will not go away, even if you change his clothes or if you change his nature. So so here, Vidura asked this question to Maitreya Maharshi. In the Mahabharata, the whole thing is explained in a different way. Vedavyasa Maharshi says in the Mahabharata, is depicting certain characters there. What is Vedavyasa Maharshi doing in Mahabharata is actually presenting to us that if you engage too much in sense gratification, the result will be that it will destroy you at the end. All the stories of Duryodhana and Dushasanam and all the Kauravas and many other personalities in the Mahabharata is teaching us this lesson, that engaging in sense gratification, uncontrolled sense gratification, will eventually result in destruction, or one will degrade themselves or down to the hellish planets and eventually has to suffer, pay heavy price for it. That is the process in the Mahabharata. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a little different. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when it says there, that if somehow or the other, if one hears the glories of Krishna, or somehow or the other, one is able to relate with Krishna's different pastimes, that process itself is so powerful that criminal nature in that person will slowly disappear and purify and elevate himself in that way. That is the potency of all the stories of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what we have to understand, that Krishna's different incarnations, different pastimes, in different times throughout the history, is only has been given to human society by Vedavyasa Maharshi's merciful way in the through the Srimad Bhagavatam, that those who want to elevate themselves from the lower modes of nature, the higher modes, they get an opportunity by hearing about Krishna, that simply by hearing automatically purifies the listener's consciousness. That is the benefit from that. So Vidura was put into this situation. Vedavyasa Maharshi was Vidura's father. Vichitravirya, who has come down in the Shantanu's dynasty in that race, that Vichitravirya died without any children. He had two wives, Ambika and Ambalika. And mother Satyavati decided to bring Vedavyas and impregnate the children in them. So Amba was sent to Dhritarashtra, but neither Amba nor Ambika were very much happy. This is known as this process of begetting children by the brother of a person who died from the same wife is known as Niyoga Vidya. So there Vedavyasa Maharshi was invited by Satyavati Devi, and Satyavati's request, Vedavyasa Maharshi had united with Ambika, and from Ambika Dhritarashtra was born. Similarly, from Ambalika, Pandu was born. But neither Ambika or Ambalika were very happy to have that relationship with Dhritarashtra, and sensing this, Vedavyasa Maharshi had not responded properly. The result was that both Dhritarashtra and Pandu had born with illnesses. Dhritarashtra was blind and Pandu had that skin disease in him. So, but later on, again Satyavati insisted on Ambika to go and have a relationship with Vedavyas. But that time, Ambika decided to send one of her Shudra maids to Vedavyas. And that Shudra maid who served Vedavyasa Maharshi nicely, Vedavyas was pleased with that, and the sage has blessed that Shudra woman that she will bear a child who will be very intelligent and who will be a great devotee as well. And that birth is Yamaraja has taken as Vidura. So this Vidura has come to this world, and the opportunity was given by, as a son of Vedavyas, he has to take birth from that Shudra woman. But before that, what had prompted Yamaraja to take that birth was that in a previous life, there was a great sage by name Mandavi Maharshi. This Mandavi Muni was performing his penances. And when he was performing penances, by chance, some dacoits who have looted the wealth from the treasury, from the king's treasury, they came running. They saw they were being chased by the king's army. So, unable to escape from the situation, they were passing through this hermitage of Mandavi Maharshi. When they saw Mandavi Muni, they came there and they left all the looted wealth there and they ran away from there. So they managed to escape, but by the time the king's army who were chasing, they arrived there, they saw the looted wealth lying next to the sage, so they caught hold of the sage. And the sage was in meditation, Mandavi Muni was performing meditation. So they tried to wake him up and ask him that why, they thought that perhaps he is performing a false meditation. So they reported the matter to the king, and it was decided that they should punish him with a spear, and they put the spear on him. Even then he didn't wake up. Mandavi Muni was so much absorbed in his transcendental consciousness that he was not disturbed by that. Eventually, after many months, it was found out that Mandavi Muni was in meditation and he was a great sage. When this information reached the king, king decided to come over and apologize himself to the sage. At the same time, and took out the spear from his body. But the part of the spear which is gone inside his body stayed there. And from then on, he is known as Animandavi Maharshi. So this Animandavya went into to ask Yamaraj about this, that why he has been punished in this way. What mistake, what sinful life activity he has done that he should be punished in this way. And that Yamaraj has approved that. Yamaraj's answer was that when he was a little child, he was actually giving pain to small flies like the children do. He was playing with them and he has killed a few of them. But that is only when he was a little boy, much before 12 years old. And according to Shastra, any sinful activities performed up to the age of 12 should not be taken very seriously because he has no knowledge of the Shastra. And therefore, because there is no Shastric knowledge, whatever he has done at that time is not to be considered very seriously. So this Animandavi Maharshi was punished by Yamaraja, and Yamaraja thought that Pandavi Muni told Yamaraja that this punishment what you have given to me is not based on the scriptural authority, and therefore you should take birth as a Shudra. And that is how Yamaraja had to come in the form of Vidura as the son of Vedavyasa Maharshi. And from there we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam that this Vidura's personality comes forward all the time as a devotee of Krishna. Dhritarashtra was also Vedavyasa, but Dhritarashtra at the same time, he had a noble birth, but he didn't have the qualities of a devotee. And whereas Vidura's case, he had both the birth from a great sage like Vedavyas, and at the same time, he also had the transcendental qualities of a devotee. So these chapters in the 5th, 6th and the 7th chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what you find there is actually this discussion between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi about the process of creation. So there we will notice also another interesting thing is this, that the Krishna's, from creation Maya has come into effect, and from Maya all this creation, all the other things have come out. Maya is the Mayam jatadubashridam bhakti-yogena manasi samyak pranihido male abhashyal purusham purvam mayam jatadubashrayam. In the first canto you have seen that what was happening was Maya was standing there in front of Krishna, and this Maya has taken shelter of Krishna. Abhashya purusham purvam mayam jatadubashrayam. Maya is actually taking shelter of Krishna. And this Maya Devi, in her expansions, has created all these living entities, all of us, who are actually part and parcel of Krishna, but it has actually put us into the influence of Maya. And this, under the control of material energy, Maya, we experience this material world as a reality to such an extent that we are even not able to recognize our true identity as the spirit soul. So that is where this ignorance has begun in us. From that point onwards, where we have separated from Krishna, and when we have fallen into the influence of Maya, from that point onwards, right up to this point, through passing through so many lifetimes, in so many bodies, we have acquired different propensities, which are known as the vasanas, and these vasanas are forcing us to act in one way or the other. So this is how Maitreya Maharshi answered Vidura to that question. And having heard Maitreya Maharshi's answer to that, Vidura wanted to hear further from Maitreya Maharshi about a chapter full of questions. Exactly like Parikshit Maharaj did to Sudeva Goswami. Here, Vidura is asking Maitreya Maharshi a number of questions. One full chapter is all questions. And that questions is talking about various things, about Jiva's different different nature, different times it goes through in the Maya's way of. So, although this whole process, what we experience here, the srishti or creation, is although also under the domain of Maya, still there is question comes that has it got a systematic way of doing it, that creation process happens. And in answer to that, Maitreya Maharshi told Vidura that although Maya has created everything, even though it is Maya's creation, within that Maya's control also, there is a way of how this process of creation has happened. And that's what comes in the next few chapters. So I'll just read those verses.
Shri Shuka Vacham Dvaridyunadyam Shabakurunam Maitreya Masinam Akhadavodam Kshatto Vasritya Chuda Bhava Shuddha Papracha Saushilya Gunavidrattaha Vidura Vacham Sukha Yakamani Karoti Loko Navai Sukham Vani Dubaramamva Vindeda Buyas Tadameva Dukham Yatre Yuktam Bhagavan Vadena Janasya Krishna Vimuhasya Deva Adharmashila Sasudukhidasya Anugrahayeha Charandinunam Bhudani Bhavyani Janardhanasya Talsadu Varyani Shavakma Shamna Samradhido Bhagavan Yena Pumsam Kridisthido Yachari Bhakti Bode Jnanam Sadatva Adhigamam Puranam Karyodi Kammani Kridavadaro Yarni Atmadandro Bhagavan Stradhishaha Yatha sasarjagramidam miniha samstapya vrittim jagado vidhate Yatha punasvekhamidam nivesha shede guhayam samivrta vritti Yogeshwaradhishwaramegamedal anupravishto bhudha yathasil. क्रीडन्विधतीर्भिजगोऽसुराणाम् क्षेमाय कर्माण्यवदारभेदैः मनो न तृप्यत्य विशन् वदान् सुश्लोकमौलेश्चरितामृतानि यैस्तत्त्वभेदैरधिलोकनाथो लोकानलोकान् सह लोकवानान् अजीक्लबद्यत्र हि सर्वसत्त्वम् निकाय भेदोऽधिकृतप्रतीताः येन प्रजानामुदमात्मकर्मम् रूपाभिधानाम् च विदाम् यथ नारायणो विश्वसदात्मयोनि एतच्च नमो वर्णय विप्रवर्याम् परावरेषाम् भगवान् मृदानिम् श्रुतानि मे व्यासमुखाधमेष्णम् अदृप्नवा क्षुल्लसुखावहानाम् तेषाम् मृदे कृष्णकथा मधौकाल् कर्तृप्नुयात्तीर्थपदोऽभिधानाल् सत्रेषु वा सूरिभिराध्यमानान् यः कर्णनाढ्यम् पुरुषस्य यादो भवप्रदम् व्यहरदिम् चिनत्ति मुनिर्विवक्षुर्भगवद्गुणानाम् सखाभिदे भारतमाह कृष्ण यस्मिन्नृणाम् ग्राम्यसुखानुवादेर्मदर्गहीदानु हरे कथायाम् सा श्रद्धदानस्य विवर्धमानाम् विरक्तिमन्यत्र करोति पुंसा हरे पदानुस्मृतिनिर्व्रतस्य समस्त दुःखातेमाशुधते तान् शोच्य शोच्यान विदो निशोचै हरे कथायाम् विमुखा नखेन शृणोति देवो निमिषस्तु येषाम् आयुर्प्रधा वादगति स्मृतीनाम् तदस्य कौशारवशामदादुर्हरे कथामेव कथा सुसारम् उद्धृत्य पुष्पेऽपिमिवार्थबन्धो शिवानय कीर्तय तीर्थकीर्तेः स विश्वजन्मस्थिति संयमार्थे कृतावतार प्रगृहीत शक्ति चकार कर्माण्यदि पूरुषाणि यानि ईश्वर कीर्तयदानि मह्यम् श्रीशुकवाच स एवम् भगवान् श्रेष्ठ क्षत्राकौशारविमुनि पुंसाम् निःश्रेयसार्थेन त्वमाह बहुमानयन् श्रीमैत्रेयवाजाम् साधु पृष्ठम् त्वया साधो लोकान् स्वाधन कृष्णताम् कीर्तिन्विधन्वदा लोके आत्मनोधोक्षजात्मनाम् नैतच्चित्रम् त्वयि क्षत्तर्पादरायण वीयते गृहीतोऽनन्यभावेन यत्त्वयाम् हरिरीश्वराः माण्डव्यशावाल् भगवान् प्रजासंयमनोयम राजक्षेत्रे भुजिष्यायाम् जातः सत्यवती सुदाल् भवान् भगवतो नित्यम् सम्मतः सानुगस्य च यस्य ज्ञानोपदेशाय आदिशन् भगवान् व्रजन् अथ ते भगवल्लीला योगमायोपब्रंहिता विश्वस्तिविल्पवान्दार्ता वर्णायाम् विनुपूर्वशाम् भगवानेकमासाद आसेदम् अग्रमात्मात्मनाम् विभु आत्मेच्छानुगतावात्मम् नानावत्युवलक्षणाः स वायेष तदा भ्रष्टा नापश्यदृशमेकरा मे सन्दमिवात्मानम् सुप्तशक्तिरसुप्तत्रयम् स वा एतस्य सन्दृष्टु शक्तिस्तदसदात्मीयाम् माया नाम महाभागम् एदम् नम मे विभुम् कालवृत्त्यादु मायायाम् गुणमय्यात्मधोक्षज पुरुषेणात्मभूमेन वीर्यमाधत्त वीर्यवान् ततो भवन् महत्तत्त्वम् अव्यक्ताल् कालचोदिताल् विज्ञानात्मात्मदेहस्थम् विश्वम् व्यञ्जस्तमोनुदाम् सोऽप्यंशप्रकालात्मा भगवत् दृष्टिगोचर आत्मानम् विकरोदात्मा विश्वस्यास्य सुरक्षयाम् महत्त्वत्वादिगुर्वाणाम् अहम् तत्त्वम् विजायत कार्यकारणकर्तात्मा भूतेन्द्रियमनोमयाम् वैकारिकस्तेजसश्च तामसश्चेत्यहम् मृधाम् अहम् तत्त्वादिगुर्वाणाम् अनोवैकारिकोदपुल् वैकारिकाश्चयेदेवम् अर्थाभिव्यञ्जनम् यदाम् तैजसानिन्द्रियाण्येव ज्ञानकर्ममयानि च तामसो भूतसूक्ष्मादि यदहम् लिङ्गमाल्पना कालमायांशयोगेन भगवद्भीक्षितम् नमः नभसो निःसृतम् स्पर्शम् कुर्वन् कर्ममीनम् अनिलोपि विकुर्वाणो तपसोरिबलान्विता असर्जिरूपतन्मात्रम् ज्योतिर्लोकस्य लोचनम् अनिलेन अन्वितम् ज्योतिर्विगोपल्परवीक्षितम् आदत्ताम्बोरसमयम् कालमायांशयोगदाः ज्योतिषाम्भोनि संसृष्टम् विगुर्वल्भ्रमवीक्षितम् महीम् गन्धगुणामाथ कालमायांशयोगदाः भूतानाम् नभमादीनाम् यद्यल्पविवरावरम् तेषाम् पराणि संसर्गाम् यदा सख्यम् गुणान्वितुम् एते देवाकला विष्णु कालमायांशलिङ्गिनाम् नानात्वान् सुक्रियानीश प्रोजप्राञ्जलयो विभुम् देवो वा ऊचुम् नमामदे देववदारविन्दम् प्रपन्नरावोपशमातपत्रम् यद्भूलगीतो यदयोञ्जसोऽयम् संसारदुःखम् बहिरुक्षिपन्ति दादयदस्मिन् भवनिश जीवाम् स्तावत्रयेणावहदाम शर्म आत्मन्लभन्ते भवंस्तवाङ्गम् छायाम् सविद्यामदमाश्रयवाम् मार्गम् दीयते मुखपद्मनीडे छन्दस्सुवर्णैर्षयो विविक्ते यस्याघमर्षोदसरिद्वरायाम् पदम् पदम् तीर्थमदप्रणन्नाः यच्छ्रद्धया शुभवत्या च भक्त्या सम्भज्यमाने हृदयवधाय ज्ञानेन वैराग्यबलेन धीराजयमर्थेऽङ्ग्लि सरोजवीणम् विश्वस्य जन्मस्त्रि संयमार्थे कृतावतारस्य पदाम्बुजम्बि व्रजेम सर्वे शरणम् यदीश स्मृतम् प्रयच्छथ वयम् स्वपुंसाम् यल्सानि वन्दे सविदेहगेहे ममाहनित्युट दुराग्रहाणाम् पुंसाम् सूर्यम् वसतोऽपि पुण्यम् भजेम दत्ते भगवल्पदाब्जम् തന്നേ സദ്വത്തി വിരക്ഷി വീഴേ പരാഹുലാന്തർമനസ പരേഷ അഥോന പശ്യന്തുരുജായകാനം ഏതേ പദന്യാസ വിലാസലക്ഷ്മ്യാഹ പാനീന ദേവ കഥാസുധായ പ്രവൃദ്ധമത്യാവിശദാശയായി വൈരാഗ്യസാരം പ്രതിലഭ്യബോധം യഥാഞ്ജസാനി യുരകുണ്ഠതൃഷ്ണ്യം തഥാപരേജാത്മസമാധിയോഗം ബലേന ജിത്വാ പ്രതിം ബലിഷ്ടം ത്വമേവ ധീരാപുരുഷം വിശന്തി തേഷാം ശ്രമസ്യ നതു സേവയാതെ തത്തേവയം ലോകസിസൃക്ഷയാർജ്യം ത്രയാനുസൃഷ്ടാസ്ത്രവിരാത്മവിസ്മ സർവേവി യുക്താസ്വവിഹാരതന്ത്രം സ്ന ശക്നുമസ്തൽ പ്രതിഹർത്തവേദേ ൃതീയസ്കന്ധേ പഞ്ചമോധ്യായ ഋഷിർവാചിതാസാംസുശക്തീനാം സദീനാമസമേത്യസ പ്രസുപ്തലോകതന്ത്രാണാം ദിശാം നിഗതിമീശ്വരാം കാലസംജ്ഞാം തദാദേവീം വിപ്രച്ഛക്തിമുരുക്രമ ത്രയോവിംശതിതത്വാനാം ഗണം യുഗപദാവിശൽ സോനപ്രവിഷ്ടോഭഗവാംശ്ചേഷ്ടാരൂപേണ നന്ദഗുണം ഭിന്നം സംയോജയാമാസ സുപ്തം കർമ്മപ്രബോധയൻ പ്രഭുഭർമാദേവീന ത്രയോവിംശതിഗോഗണ പ്രേരിതോജനയും സ്വാമിർ മാത്രാവിരവിഭൂഷം പരേണം ശതാസ്വസ്മിൻ മാത്രയാവിശ്വസൃജ്ഞന yasmin lokaschara janaha hiranmayasa purusha sahasra parivalsaran andavosham vasapsu sarvasattvabrahminam savai vishwasajam garbho devakarmaatma shaktiman vibhavajatmanatmanam ekadadashadatridham yasha hiyasha sattvanam atmamsha paramatmana adyovadaro yatraso bhulagyavo vibhavyade సాధ్యాత్మ సాధి దైవశ్చ సాధి భూతమిత్రుధ విరాల్ ప్రాణో దశవిదం ఏకదా హృదయేన చ స్మరణ నిశ్వసజామీషో విజ్ఞాపి నదోక్షయ విరాజవలవల్స్వేన తేజసైషాం నివర్తయే అథ తస్యాపి దత్తస్య కది జాయదనానిహ నిరవిధ్యంత దేవానాం తాయినేకదశ్రుణు తస్య అగ్నిరాశిం నిర్భిన్నం లోకపాలో విశల్పదం వాజా సోంశేన వక్తవ్యం ఏయాసో ప్రతిపద్యతే నిర్భిన్నం తగువరణో యోగవాలో విశద్ధరి ఇహయాంశేన జరసం ఏయాసో ప్రతిపద్యతే నిర్భిన్నే మశ్వినో నాసే విష్ణోరావిషదాంబరం ధ్యానేనాంశేన గంధస్ ప్రతిపత్తిరో భవే నిర్భిన్నే మక్షిణీకోష్ట యోగవాలో విశద్భిమో చక్షుషాంశేన రూపేణ రూపాణం ప్రతిపత్తిరో భవే నిర్భిన్న అన్యస్య జర్మాణి యోగవాలో నిలో విశల్ ప్రాణేనాంశేన సంస్పర్శం ఏనాసో ప్రతిపద్యతే కర్ణావసవి నిర్భిన్నో విష్ణుం సంవిశుర్దిశ శ్రోత్రేణాంశేన శబ్దస్య సిద్ధిమ్యేన ప్రపద్యతే తజమసవి నిర్భిన్న విష్ణు విష్ణుమోషది అంశేన రోభ విక్రందం ఏరసో ప్రతిపద్యతే మేధాంతస్య వినిర్భిన్న సుదిష్యం కముపావిశ వేదసాంశేన ఏనాస ఆనందం ప్రతిపద్యతే గుదం వంశో వినిర్భిన్న మిత్రో లోకేశమావిశ వాయునాంశేన ఏనాసో విసర్గం ప్రతిపద్యతే హస్తావస వినిర్భిన్న ఇంద్రస్వపతిరావిశ వాతాయంశేన పురుషో ఏయావృత్తిం ప్రపద్యతే పాదావస వినిర్భిన్న యోగేశో విష్ణురావిశ నిత్యాస్వాంశేన పురుషో ఏయాప్రాప్యం ప్రపద్యతే బుద్ధింద్రాస వినిర్భిన్న వాగేశో విష్ణువావిశ భోదేనాంశేన బోధవ్యం ప్రతిపత్తిరో భవే హృదయం జాస నిర్భిన్నం చంద్రవాణిష్ణువావిశ మనసాంశేన ఏనాసో విక్రయం ప్రతిపద్యతే ఆత్మానం జాస నిర్భిన్నం అభిమానో విశల్పదం కర్మణాంశేన ఏనాసో కర్తవ్యం ప్రతిపద్యతే సత్వం జాస వినిర్భిన్నం మహాన్ విష్ణువావిశ చిత్తేనాంశేన ఏనాసో విజ్ఞానం ప్రతిపద్యతే శీర్ష్ణోస్తి నిర్ధయాపథ్య గంధాభీరుపదవద్యన గుణానాం వృత్తయోయేషు ప్రదీయందే స్వయాదయాం ఆత్యంతికేన సత్వేన దివం దేవా ప్రవీదిరి భయామృజ స్వభావేన ప్రణయోయే జనానను తార్తీయేన స్వభావేన భగవన్నాభిమాశ్రిత ఉభయోరంతరం వ్యోమ ఏ రుద్రవాషదాం గణాం మహో వర్తత బ్రహ్మ పురుషస్య గురుద్వః యస్తు ఉన్మహత్వాద్వర్ణాన మహోభ్యోద్బ్రాహ్మణో గురు బాహుభ్యో వర్తత క్షత్రం క్షత్రియస్తదనుమ్రత యో జాతస్త్రాయదేవర్ణన్ పౌరుషఖండయక్షదా విషమ వర్తందదస్యోమో లోకవృత్తీకరీర్విభో వైశ్యస్తదుద్భవో వార్తాం ప్రణామ్యస్తమవర్తయల్ పద్భ్యాం భగవదోజ్ఞి శుశ్రూషాధర్మసిద్ధై తస్యాం జాతపురాశుద్రో యద్వత్వా యద్వత్యాదుషదే హరి ఏదై వర్ణాస్తు ధర్మేణ యజన్నీ సూర్యం హరిం శ్రద్ధయాత్మశుద్ధ్యర్థం యజ్జాదా సహమృతిభి ఏదక్షత్ర భగవదో దేవకర్మాత్మరూపిణ కశ్రద్ధ్యాదుపాకర్తం యుగమాయా బలోదయం అథావియుక్తయామ్యంగ యథామదీయదాశ్రుమం కీర్తిం హరే స్వాం సత్కర్తుం గిరమన్యాభిదాసనీం ఏకాంతకామం వజసో నుపుంసాం శుశ్లోకమూలేర్పుణవాదమాహు ശുനേശ്ച വിദ്വൽഭിരുവാകൃതായ കഥാസുധായ ഉപസംപ്രയോഗം അൽപനോമസി നോവൽസ മഹിമാ കവിനാദിന സംവത്സര സഹസ്രാന്തേ ധിയായോഗ വിഭക്വയ അധോ ഭഗവതോമായോ വായനാമ വിമോഹിനി യൽ സ്വയം ചാൽപ്പവർമാൽമ ിമാത്രീരൻഗുണസേവണക്രിയാമോർഭസ്യാമശ്ചക്രീഷാന്യത സ്വതസ്തൃപ്തസ്യ സയുദ്ധം ജ്യോതിനക്ഷത്ര തത്വജിജ്ഞാസുരാമിനി പ്രത്യാഹ ഭഗവച്ചിത്ത സ്മയം നിവജനസ്മയ മൈത്രയോവാചാം സേയം ഭഗവതോമായ എന്നേന വിരുദ്ധ്യതേ ഈശ്വരസ്യ മുക്തസ്യ കാർപ്പണ്യമുദബന്ധനം യദർത്ഥേന വിനാമുഷ്യ പുംസം ആത്മവിപര്യയ പ്രതീയരൂപദ്രഷ്ടു സുശിരശ്ചേതനാദിയാം യഥാ ജലേ ചന്ദ്രമസ തമ്പാദിസ്ഥൽക്കുതോ ഗുണ ദൃശ്യതേ സന്നെ വിദ്രഷ്ടും ആത്മനോ 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 ഗുണ സവൈനുവൃത്തിധർമ്മേണ വാസുദേവാനുകമ്പയ ഭഗവത്ഭക്തിയോഗേന തിരോധക്തേശനൈരിഹ യതീന്ദ്രയോപരാമോധ കഷ്ടാത്മനിവരേഹരോ വിലീയം നീതദാക്ലേശം സംസുപ്തസ്യേവ കൃഷ്ണശാം അശേഷസംക്ലേശശമം വിദത്തേ ഗുണാനുവാദശ്രവണം മുരാരേ കുത പുനഃസ്തച്ചരണാരവിന്ദം രാഗസേവാരതിരാത്മലബ്ധാം വിദുരവാച സംഛിന്ന സംശയോ മഹ്യം തവ സുപ്താസനാ വിഭോ ഉഭയത്രാവി ഭഗവാൻ മനോമേ സമ്പ്രദാവിനി സാധ്വേദ്വാഹനം വിദ്വൻ ആത്മമായായനം ഹരേ ആഭാത്യവാക്കം നമ്മൂലം വിശ്വമൂലം നയദ്ബഹി യശമൂലതമോ ലോകെ യശ്ച ബുദ്ധേ പരം നിഗത താവുഭോ സുഖമേനേനെ ക്ലിശ്യത്യന്തരിലോചനാം അർത്ഥാഭാവം വിനിശ്ചിത്യ പ്രതീതസ്യാവി കൽപ്പന തം ചാവി യുഷ്മച്ചരണ സേവയാഹം പരാമിതേ യൽ സേവയാ ഭഗവതം കോടസ്തസ്യ മതുദ്വിഷ യദിയാസോ ഭവേ തീവ്ര പാദയോ വ്യസനാർദ്ദന ദുരാവാഹ്യ അൽപദവസാ സേവാ വൈകുണ്ഠവത്മസു യത്രോ വൈയേ നിത്യം ദേവദേവോ ജനാർദ്ദനാം സൃഷ്ടുവാഗ്രേ മഹദാദീനി സവികാരാണ്യനുക്രമാൻ ഏഭ്യോ വിരാജമുദ്രത്യ തമനു പ്രാവിശദ്വിഭൂം യമാഹുരാജ്യം പുരുഷം സഹസ്രാംഗിരുവാഹനം എത്ര ഈശ്വരം വിശ്വൈവേ ലോക സവികാസം സമാസനേം യസ്മിൻ നശവിത പ്രാണം സൗന്ദര്യാർത്ഥേ സ്ത്രീ സ്ത്രീകൾ ത്വയേരിതോ യതോ വർണ്ണ സ്തുതിഭൂതിർവദസ്വനാം എത്ര ഉത്രേശ്യ ഗോത്രേശ്യ നത്ര വിസഹ ഗോത്ര ജയി പ്രജാമിത്രാകൃതയം ആസന്യാഭിരിനന്ദനം പ്രജാപതീനാം സമദിശ്ചക്ലത്തേഖാൻ പ്രജാപതീം സർഗാംശൈവാനുസർഗാംശ മന്യൂ മന്യൂൻ മന്യുന്തരാധിവാൻ ഏതേഷാമി വംശാംശ വംശാനുചരിതാനുജാം ഉപജനശ്ചൈലോകഭൂമേർമിത്രാത്മജാസനേ തേഷാം സംസ്ഥാനപ്രമാണം ച ഉർലോകസ്യ ജവർണയാം തിരിമാനുഷദേവാനം സരീസുമതത്മനിർഭവപദത്രയാം വദനസർഗസംയൂഹം ഗാർഭസേതദ്വിജോത്ഭിദാം ഗുണാവതാരേ വിശ്വസ്യ സർഗസ്തിത്യപേയാശ്രയം സജശ്രീവാസസ്യ രാജക്ഷോദ്വാരവിക്രമം വർണ്ണാശ്രമവിഭാഗാംശ രുപശീലസ്വഭാവ കൃഷീണാം ജന്മകർമാണി ഏതസ്യ ജവികർഷണം യജ്ഞസ്യ ജവിദാനാനി യോഗസ്യ ജവതപ്രഭോ നിഷ്കർമ്മസ്യ ധർമ്മാർത്ഥകാമോക്ഷാനിമിത്തനിവിരോധതവാർത്തായാലന്ദനിദേശ്ചാശുഭസ്ഥിതിവിധിംഭവൻ ശ്രാദ്ധസ്ഥിതിവിധിംഭവൻ തൃണാം സഖമേയോജ ഗ്രഹനക്ഷത്രതാരാണാം കാലാമേവ സംസ്ഥിതിം ദാനസ്യവസോവാമി യച്ചേഷ്ടാഭൂതയോഭനം പ്രവാസസ്ഥസയോധർമ്മോ യശ്ചമം സമുദാവതീം. ജീവാഭയ ജാനക ജീവാഭയ പ്രധാനസ്യ അകുർമീരൻ കലാമവി ശ്രീ ശിവവാചാം സയിത്തമാപഷ്ടപുരാണകൽപ്പം കുരുപ്രധാനീനമുനിപ്രധാന പ്രവൃദ്ധ ശോഭവൽക്കായം സഞ്ചോദിതസ്തം പ്രഹസന്നിവാഹാം. ఇది శ్రీమద్ భాగవతే తృతీయ స్కందే సప్తమోధ్యాయ.
సో దాట్ ఈస్ ది ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ దోస్ త్రీ చాప్టర్స్ అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ దిస్ మైత్రేయ మహర్షి కంటిన్యూస్ ఫర్ అ లాంగ్ లాంగ్ టైమ్ డిస్కషన్ బిట్వీన్ మైత్రేయ మహర్షి అండ్ విదురా గోస్ ఆన్ అండ్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు స్టార్ట్ అబౌట్ ది యాక్చువల్ ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ క్రియేషన్ హౌ బ్రహ్మ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ కృష్ణ అండ్ బ్రహ్మస్ మెడిటేషన్ Brahma's start of creation, Brahma's request for help from Krishna for the creation, all these things, they come in the next few chapters, which we will talk about it from the next Sunday. If there's any questions or comments.
Yeah, just now you said as, what's the role of Brahma? Because if Maya creates everything, what's the role of Brahma? Mahatattva came from Krishna and Maya creates everything, and what is part of Brahma in this? I find a bit confusion.
Yes. Brahma, in the beginning of creation, from the lotus of Vishnu, Brahma has come in the lotus flower. And in the process, in the sequence of creation, Brahma did not have the ability to create either. And that ability to create has come through Maya. And that agent Maya is actually helped Brahma in the process of creation. So Brahma has actually, who is Krishna's another expansion, who come as Brahma, has interacted with Maya and then the process of creation began from there. So Brahma's role is, it's not that Brahma individually created everything. The creative potency Krishna has given into the material energy. Or this material energy which has come from Krishna was given under the control of Brahma, and Brahma with the support of material energy continued the creation. That is how the process of creation goes on. So what we have to understand is that the material energy or Maya has such a tight grip on all the living entities that even if we try to escape from that influence of Maya, we're not in a position to do that. And unfortunately, the Maya's ability, that is the most interesting thing to note, Maya's ability to keep us in this state and to make us believe everything is real or everything is the absolute thing. And that is where the success of Maya is. Maya, just like many, many things, we're talking about it, that we know that in the material world, the reality is that living entity eventually has to part with this material body. Living entity also has to leave this material world and its ultimate destination is not known to it. But in spite of that, the living entity is still able to pursue a life here in this world so strongly, believing that everything else is a reality in this world, and to identify with the body and also to identify with these activities in this world, that energy, that potency or that ability to fall into that trap under the influence of Maya is so powerful. And that is where the most difficult thing. And to come out of this influence of Maya and to free oneself is that this process of Krishna consciousness is given. That to understand that we are actually, our relationship is with Krishna, not with Maya. But from time immemorial, we have associated with Maya so strongly that we are not able to free ourselves from that influence of Maya. Durga is the personification of material energy, of Maya. Maya and Durga are one and the same. Actually, but when material energy is personified, that is Durga, and devotees also pray to Durga Devi or Maya Devi to not to influence them too much, because when one is under the influence of Maya, one is not able to understand that he is in Maya. That is the beauty of Maya. Maya can engage one in such a way that one can even lose one's own true identity. One leaves that and falls into that trap. So That's Maya's ability to and Maya is a very, very significant topic for discussion in the Vedic system. Whether it doesn't matter from personalist or anybody, it doesn't matter. Maya has a strong role, and coming out of this Maya's control is actually spiritual life. Spiritual life is all directed towards that. But Krishna consciousness is that process to free oneself from Maya. But in most instances, I think we don't even know what is Maya. So it becomes difficult to come out of Maya.
This avasana, what's it, avasana?
Vasana, yes.
How strong role would it play in one's spiritual life?
Very strongly, yes. Because you can see that vasanas are there from the beginning. The moment we were created, separated from Krishna, and from then on, we have come to this, vasanas are building up inside, stacked up. So, those vasanas encourage us to act in a particular way. So when we act in this world, in whichever way it is, the result will be that we create results from that, from our activities, the karmic reaction, what we call it. So when we get the reaction, we enjoy that. When we get the result, we try to enjoy that. When we try to enjoy that, in that process, we get more implicated. And this is the most difficult thing with the law of karma. The karmic reactions are such that it binds you and traps you in there. And once you are trapped in that, you can't come out of it. So, by different processes like karma yoga and also by devotional service, one can slowly entangle oneself from that reactions of that karma, what one has done in the past. But even in one's devotional life, sometimes you find that devotees also fall into difficult situations. It's not that as soon as you become a devotee, you are relieved from all other distresses in this world. The distresses are still coming. That is because these vasanas, what has come inside, they will start coming out as and when it gets an opportunity. And it will force the person to act one way or the other. And that is the nature of this vasana. And vasana, we cannot change that. That because the good vasanas and the bad vasanas, what is inside, everything, as soon as it gets a proper environment, these vasanas will interact with the environment and it will start. Just like Ajamila's case, as you've seen, Ajamila was a nice brahmana. He had a very nice background. In spite of all that, when he was collecting the firewood, and the dharba grass and chamada for his father, when he saw that scene of that woman with the man together, enjoying, intoxicated and enjoying the mood, when he saw that, for a moment he thought that it's not proper to think in those lines, and he was trying to control himself, but he lost his control. Why? Because there were some vasanas which manifested at that time which he could not check and control himself. And that forced him to give up all his spiritual life and everything and engage in his sinful life. So vasanas have a very, very powerful role in us, and that will come as and when it gets the right situation. So by Krishna consciousness process, one can somehow, if the Krishna consciousness is strong, then it will not allow the vasanas to manifest easily. It will overpower the vasanas. That is the strength of the Krishna consciousness. And Srimad Bhagavatam is doing that in that way. By culturing Krishna consciousness, by developing Krishna consciousness, it continuously suppresses these bad propensities or durvasanas inside and elevates a person slowly into a higher realization on spiritual life.
Could you say knowledge is, by cultivating knowledge you can overcome these vasanas?
You can, yes. Spiritual knowledge helps a person, because once you have that mind of analyzing spiritually the different activities in this world, then you will be able to see through a lot of things. Like majority of the people in this world are swayed by the society. Society tells them to one, they all go in that direction. They go in the other way, they all go in the opposite direction. So that's what our position is in this material world. Sometimes when you discuss with the devotees, they'll also say that, oh, we have to suffer so much, we have to work so hard, we need so much money to live, we need this, we need that. It's unlimited needs. And sometimes, like the psychologists, they also, who are paid very, very high salaries by the government, they also come up with such type of answers. They come back with the answer saying that, oh, poverty is the cause of all the problems in this world. They have come to understanding that unemployment, poverty. But millions are unemployed in many other places. They are not having the same crime nature in them. So poverty is not the cause of all the problems. It's a lack of knowledge that is causing actually this crime nature, crime criminal mentality. So if the Krishna consciousness is there, then the criminal nature will also go away from a person. It will not work. It will not show its strength.
The people and the big spiritual persons who are highly elevated into the spiritual world, are they completely free of propensity?
Yes. They are, yes. They are so pure that they do not have, they have what he says in the Shastras is that their understanding is so clear in their mind that they are able to see with every living entity as part and parcel of Krishna. Once that consciousness is developed inside, then they do not see any distinction between, like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanni Brahmane Devi Hastini Shuni Jeva Shavageja Pandita Samadarshina. That samadarshinam or equal vision develops in them. Once the equal vision has come, then you cannot discriminate one over the other. Like if you take the big political leaders, they find that somebody is right and somebody is wrong. Actually, they are all wrong because none of them has any proper vision as far as from the spiritual point of view. They are differentiating that one is right and one is wrong on the basis of their own bodily identification. So, the spiritually elevated personalities, they see things in a different way. They see that Pandita Samadarshina, that equal vision has come to them, and therefore they do not discriminate between one to another, one divinity to another.
Can you beg your pardon? I want to distinguish between modes of material nature and propensities in every interaction.
Say that again.
Modes of material nature and vasana.
Yeah. The vasanas are our propensities inside. That means these vasanas, they are waiting for an opportunity. And opportunity means the modes of nature. So for example, if a person has Prajinabar his story in the 9th canto tells this story. Prajinabar his was a very, very, very powerful king. And he came into somehow or the other he got into association with Urvashi. And Prajinabar he spent thousands and thousands of years in the association of Urvashi. And he was so much infatuated with Urvashi that Urvashi had to come to this world due to some curse on the heavenly planet. She was not interested to come to this into the human world. But she had to come here and she had to stay as his wife for some time. But eventually when Urvashi left the planet and went back, Prajinabar his could not bear the separation from her. So after a long, long, long time in his life, one day he came to his senses. And there is a song in the Bhagavatam which Prajinabar his is singing about himself. And in that song he says that in the association of Urvashi, I have forgotten everything to such an extent. When the sun was rising and the sun was setting, even I did not notice it. He is lamenting that. And from the heavenly planet he comes down. Somehow or the other he managed to go to Urvashi's planet at the end with her. And Urvashi took him there. And after a long time, while living in Urvashi's planet, Prajinabar his came to his senses. When he came to his senses, he comes down to the earthly planet. And he talks about it. He says there that no matter what happens, always keep your association with the right people. That's samsargam. He says samsargam is the main thing with whom you associate. So these vasanas, as soon as you get the wrong association, they will take you in that direction easily. Because you do not know what vasanas you have inside. Particularly people who are born in the age of Kali, very, very unfortunate, because of lack of samskars, what normally would have had the human society, which doesn't exist. And more or less, the human species is produced like, almost like the cats and dogs society, like Prabhupada is saying many times. So in that society, these vasanas are there very strongly in the mind. And when they get the opportunity, they will take, it will fructify. It will start acting one way or the other. So vasanas in association with the modes of nature. Modes of nature means what the association you get in this world. Association with devotees elevates a person. Association with the materialistic persons, like in the Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj says there, isn't it? That the that association, sandarshanam, vishayinam, atha yoshidanja. That a man who is trying to advance on the spiritual side, he should guard himself all the time that association can drag me down any time in my life. And once it comes down, you never know how long it will take again to come out of it. And that is exactly Prajina Brahis was, Puridas was saying there, that my association with Urvashi lasted so long, and only after many, many thousands of years, by Krishna's grace, he came to his senses. In other words, his intelligence started telling him that this is not the life to live. I have got a good life, a good human life. I have been the king, and as a king, I should have given up everything and gone to the forest like my predecessors did, which I never did. On the other hand, I was completely affected by Urvashi's life and went after that. What a fool I am, he calls himself like that.
How is it that he came to his senses?
That is Krishna's mercy. There's nothing else behind it. At some stage, we all are like that. That we all also have to come to Krishna consciousness by Krishna's mercy only. We shouldn't think that it's my ability that I come to Krishna consciousness. None of us have any ability in that way. It is by Krishna's grace that at some point in life we have come to our senses that Krishna consciousness is an important thing. And similarly, but when big people, when they fall very deep down. Their distance they fall is far higher than ordinary people. So Puridas was such a powerful king. Puridas story is in the Bhagavatam, that he was such a powerful king, and he was thinking that as a king I performed such pious activities, but ultimately at one point I lost everything, and I have spent all my lifetime wasted for so many thousands of years in association with Urvashi. So from this you can see that this association, what makes everything, the vasanas to take shape at some point. So we don't know our vasanas, so we have to guard ourselves all the time.
The same answer what he given is also proper gives when he speaks about Ajamila. Mm-hmm. Could he able to remember Krishna at the time of death by Krishna's mercy? Mm-hmm.
You said that there is a vacant state, dream state, and sushupti state.
Sushupti
state.
Yeah.
Which Srimad Bhagavatam says that they are real states.
Deep sleep.
These states are real according to Srimad Bhagavatam.
Mm.
But then you said in dream state the mind is active and is illusion in there. So.
In the,
you're saying that these three are real according to Srimad Bhagavatam, but in the mind, you know, when you're dreaming,
yeah,
there's illusion.
Yes.
So,
see, real in the sense that it's again difficult to explain what is real. Is this real or that real? This question comes, isn't it? Like when you're in the dreaming state, you're experiencing so many things in the dream that something like, say, somebody has tried to kill you, and right up to the point you're getting killed, you're experiencing death. Everything is real to you at that point. Although you are not in your, with your gross senses you are perceiving, but in your consciousness you are experiencing that, the death at that point. And sometimes you are killed also in the, and then suddenly something comes back to you again and wakes up. And when you come to the awakened state, you realize that, oh, everything that I have experienced in the dream body is not true. Now, for example, you see these three states of existence, Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti, everything is a reality actually, if you take it as real. Everything is an illusion, if you take it as an illusion. You can't say that one is real and one is illusion. That's the point I'm trying to make. As much as you think, in the vacant state, because we have identified with the gross body, we are thinking that what we are experiencing during the day in our vacant condition is real. Everything else we have rejected because we have not developed that habit of seeing things in the dream state. We haven't got that understanding how to relate with that. Similarly in the deep sleep also. For example, suppose we had so many experiences in the past life. All that experiences are still there in us, but we don't know about it. Why we have forgotten? The reason is because we have changed the body. That's why we lost that connection. As soon as you change your body, from the last bodies, whatever that has happened, we are not able to remember them anymore. But what has happened in this lifetime, we can still remember to a large extent. Why? Because we haven't changed the body yet. But once you change the body, we lose a lot of things which we can bring back into or retrieve. Like in a computer, you can retrieve the memory from memory in the same way, we are not able to retrieve it. But it is still lying there. That's what Bhagavan says. That you haven't lost anything. More or less like in the computer, it's still there, you haven't lost it. But you're not able to retrieve it from there because you have changed your body.
And this is called vasana.
Yes, this is the vasanas here. Vasanas are dormant inside and these vasanas will develop and come out at the proper time when it's favorable.
So vasanas and senses are different things.
Yes, vasanas are different than the senses. Senses are what is, there are 10 senses in us. 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action. They are known as karmendriyam and jnanendriyam. Through these 5 senses of knowledge, we acquire knowledge in this world. Through senses of action, we perform activities in this world. So that is that. Vasanas are different. Vasanas are actually the desires. Sorry?
Desires, the desires that has
been developed in our own mind from different lifetimes by different activities what we have performed. Just like every time we perform some activity, it has a reaction on us. What, no matter what it is, it's a pious activity or a sinful activity. Now, immediately the activity doesn't create much problem because it is performed by the body. But in the form of a seed, it stays inside. And that will come out later on. At some point in time, and it will start showing its own after effects. So, that's the way it is.
So it can't be in the same lifetime, it can be different.
Oh yes, very much so. So many past lives will come back and start working on present life in our lifetime. So that's why many things you cannot explain. That sometimes, generally this example is given, that some children seems to be very much talented in music. And this music, they will say it is genes. But how these genes came in, that question comes then, isn't it? That the genes have come, it's not everything in matter. Matter is not the cause behind it. That these vasanas, these are vasanas actually. This music, tendency for music is actually a vasana. That has come from previous lifetime. Prabhupada mentioned about George Harrison, that he was a musician in his past life as well. And that has come back in his life much more strongly and started building up. So, similarly, so many other things, it is vasana that comes out. And this criminal nature also in the people, in the criminal mentality, is also vasana. Because in associating with the lower modes of nature for a very, very long time, and in a very bad association will build up those inside, and that vasanas will not go away easily, and it is always there. No matter how much you change your clothes, the thoughts inside is not going to change, and that's what is manifesting when it gets the right opportunity.
One more question: if I may bring the Mayavada philosophy in here, According to Srimad Bhagavatam, this is all real. But is it right to say that the Mayavada, they say that this is not real?
This real, real and temporary. Vaishnavas, we say as Vaishnavas, it's a temporary thing.
Mm.
Mayavadi say it is completely false. Now, whether you call it as temporary or false, ultimately it is more or less driving to the same point, isn't it? We say temporary because for one reason only, that for a devotee, even Maya can be used in Krishna's service. That Maya's energy, what we receive by from in the material world, what we find as material energy, we use that in Krishna's service, and thereby we can avoid the reaction from that. That is the benefit of Krishna consciousness. That means if you engage all your wealth, power and everything what you have in service of Krishna, then that will not bind you to this world. So that means the same activity, if you use in Krishna consciousness, that can liberate you, free yourself from this entanglement. But whereas the Mayavadis will say that every activity in this material world is, for them it is mithya, jagat is mithya, totally false. So they reject that completely from that point of view. And because they have no taste for developing Krishna consciousness, they are following a different path in their spiritual side. They do not find studying the matter or Maya as an important thing. They reject Maya altogether. Everything is Maya. And that's what's happened to their way of thinking.
Coming back to Vasna, is Vasna same as Sanchit Karma, or is there a difference?
No, it is different. Because Karma is the reaction from our actions. That is Karma. But Vasanas are some things what we have built up inside due to our activities. That is Vasana.
So, tendency,
yeah, the propensities to do certain things. Like one who associates with, say for example, a man who is very much attracted to women. Say, too much attachment to women is built up because of too much excessive association also that comes from there. Or the gratification that has come from that, sense gratification from that, causes a man to develop that vasana in him. And that is why in Brahmachari life it is given a lot of importance to this, that in the early days, whatever vasanas that goes in, that protects that person. That is why this Gurukula education has been so strongly recommended. But before sending the child to Gurukula, there are so many other things to be looked at. If you do not do that, and if you send anybody, pick him up and send him to Gurukula, and his, because he is lacking all the samskaras in him, from the time when he should have had them, automatically those vasanas which were building up inside, they will manifest also, whether he is in Gurukula or he is in the public school. It will still come out. And that's why the whole Vedic process is such, that somehow or the other, in the early days of life itself, if you inject Krishna consciousness strongly into the mind of a young person, especially during the teenage life, at that time, if it goes in strongly, then that will stay there and protect him from sinful propensities. That's the protection it gives. That's why that particular age is given so much importance. And instead of sending them to work or to earn money or to do anything else, that's the time the best in the life should be given to them, which is Krishna consciousness. 10 minutes, stop. चेतो दर्पणम् चन्द्रम् भवः दावाग्निर्वापणम् श्रेयकैदवचन्द्रिका वितरणम् विद्यावधू जीवनम् आनन्दम् बुद्धिवर्धनम् प्रतिपदम् पूर्णम् तदास्वादनम् सर्वाप्नासवनम् परम् विजयने श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नाम्ना मदायुर्भुदानुज सर्वशक्ति तत्रापि दाने निदास्मरणेन कालम् एतादृशम् तव कृपा भवान् ममापि मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरि भवदात् भक्तिरहैर्विद्वैनन्दलिङ्गरम् पतितामृषमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्गजस्तु दधूलि सदृशम् चिन्तयाम् नयनङ्गलशुधारया वदनम् गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा कुलगैर्निजदम् कदा भवम् नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति. ఆశ్లేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయుధం శూన్యాయుధం జగత్ సర్వం గోవింద వరహే నమే. ఆశ్లేష్య వా పాదరతాం పేష్టమాం ఆదర్శనాం మమహదాం కరోతు వా యథా దదామా విదదా విలంబడో మమ ప్రాణనాథ వాస్తు మే దేవనాభరా.